Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're finishing up our series today for our evening services, walking through the Hall of Faith. Now, just as a reminder, as we're gearing up to get into this, the book of Hebrews is probably a sermon written and read to those who knew their Old Testaments, which at that time was the Scriptures, and knew about these figures. And so the whole point of the book of Hebrews is to make the point that Jesus is better, and that we can see that connection through our faith. That faith is the evidence for our assurance. It grounds our world. It's the only way to please God. We see works in the Old Testament, but those works are always an outpouring of that faith, right? And so the faith is necessary. It's what gives us our righteousness. It's what leaves a legacy. It's what saves from death. It's what helps us lead others to that salvation. And it leads to sacrifice. But so here, if we pick up here at the end, we've hit the big names of the faith here. And there will be just a few more that he does his quick hits at the end to get to his final point at the end of chapter 11. And we'll dive in a little bit to chapter 12 as well. So if you will, read with me Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32. He says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful again and again for your word, Lord, and for your resurrection. Lord, we know that without your love, we wouldn't have these things, and we wouldn't have hope. We wouldn't have that assurance, Lord, and we wouldn't have a future to look towards. But you have given us this hope, and you have made it so easy for us to obtain. Lord, we know that at times our minds and our hearts and our desires make it more complicated than it has to be. Lord, all you have called us to do is have faith, and that faith will lead us to action. So please, as we spend this time looking back at the history of the people who have trusted in you, help us just gain that trust for ourselves and strive and run our race with faith as well. We ask this all in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. So verse 32, we transfer over here from the big names. You've noticed he's been taking, you know, a verse at a time for a name of a person, or maybe even multiple verses to talk about the even bigger figures. And now we get into verse 32 all of a sudden, and he hits a transfer point here. He's like, all right, what more can I say? And he starts listing it. Now, I love the beauty of this because he we see a big point here that there are, especially in the Old Testament, there's an innumerable amount of examples of people who have shown this strong faith. I mean, by the examples that they gave there, I mean, they just barely got through some of the six of the first books of the Bible, right? Of the Old Testament. And yet he can bring up countless examples. And then he jumps in, he's like, let me list off so many other names that could be mentioned. And even then, glossing over people. See, and with all of these, we see the same point. These are people who are flawed, but God's work is working perfectly through them. Why? Because they had faith. And notice again, we've talked about this before. Like, if you stop and think about the examples, a lot of the time we see that these people were not people we'd say their faith was above all with their belief. They showed lack of faith in God constantly. See, first list Gideon. Like, we all can think of Gideon and how he defeated the Midianites with 300 soldiers. But when we first hear of Gideon, he's off hiding. God calls him a mighty man of valor, and it doesn't seem like that at the time. When he first calls Gideon to tear down an altar, he's scared to do it. He tests God with a fleece, right? And you know it's wrong. You know, just because the Bible says he's what he did, that doesn't mean that's what we should do. But you can tell it's wrong because when he goes to do it again, he says, God, please don't be mad at me here, but I'm going to do this again. All right? And so, but eventually he does go through and he fights the Midianites, and God gets the glory for it. He started with an army. God whittled it down so that they could not boast in their ability. They couldn't boast about anything about themselves. It was God who won that battle. Now, before we stop there thinking about Gideon, the story of Gideon ends with him making an ephod. That's the high priestly garment for himself. All right, so notice already we saw the fleece, and now we have the ephod here. The bookends of Gideon's stories is showing his unbelief. And yet God worked through him to deliver his people. All right, so even in his flaws, God worked perfectly. Same thing with Barak. We see that, you know, after, like, just a little bit before, he also fights a war and delivers God's people. But in his story too, it's not him that gets the glory. It's God. In fact, if any person were to get the glory in the story, they make it clear it's not him, it's actually a woman, which at that time was unheard of. But Jael, the lady who killed the king of the army that they fought against, she's the one that got the victory in that sense, not Barak. But we see that even in that, he showed his faith, and he told the judge, Deborah, listen, I'm not going into battle unless you're going with me. He knows that she is the one who is leading spiritually in this sense. And he's saying, if you are saying what God is telling me to do, I want you to be there so I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. All right, so he's showing his faith in that. He brings up Samson, which Samson is a very familiar story with me and with all of us. Like, we can think of all of the issues that Samson had. He didn't seem like a spiritual person at any point in his life. And yet, when God's Spirit came upon him, he did these great things and delivered his people. We see Jephthah, who was a zero to hero moment. You see that he was, you know, scorned by all of those in his tribe, and yet God brought him up to go and fight a victory. And we see his faith in his battles, calling out to God. But the problem was, even in his faithfulness, we saw foolishness too. Because Jephthah is the one that said, God, if you win this battle for me, so he knew that God could win it for him. He had faith in that. But he said, if you win this battle for me, whatever comes to me first when I get home, I will sacrifice that to you. So here we see devotion, we see faithfulness, but we're not seeing it being led by wisdom. When he gets home, you know what came to him? His daughter. And he went through with that. Now realize this isn't just, the Bible does not paint this as a positive picture. It's not saying, oh, look, he followed through. He showed that devotion to God. He took his vow seriously. Yes, he did. But he never should have made a vow like that. So that should be a big sign for us as Christians. We can be faithful and we can be devoted to God, but we need to bring that wisdom along with it too. We need to look at these figures. We need to learn our Bibles so we can glean from them how we should flesh out our faith. Right? It's not just a blind faith. It's a faith that's rooted in the Word. He moves from Jephthah and he talks about David, and that's something that we could go on and on about. But we know David had faith, and we know he had his great moments. He got up alone to fight Goliath, the giant. And he knew that it wasn't him that was killing Goliath, that it was God. He, whenever was persecuted by Saul, and was, you know, Saul was hunting him down to kill him, had the opportunity at least once, time and again, to kill Saul. And he showed his faith and patience in God by not killing him. He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. And he waited until God took care of the situation for him. Like, people were there with him saying, David, God has set this up for you. This is God putting him into your hands. Like, he's here for you. And David's like, nope, not yet. So we saw his patience in that. We saw his devotion to God's ark when he danced and didn't care about his pride, but he made himself abased and lowly to glorify God. All of these things are what faith should lead us to do. But we do see that David was not a perfect man. He raped a woman and had a man killed. David was not perfect. But in that faith, we also see an example too. Because David repented of his sins. That's the difference between him and Saul. When Saul was confronted with his sins, and just by a side note here, Saul won victories, and yet he's not listed in Hebrews. But Saul, the difference maker here, is that when he was confronted with his sins, he tried to make an excuse. He tried to justify them. He tried to hide them. And David did try to hide them at first, but when it came to flesh, when it came to light there, he knew he was wrong, and he turned away from those. That's how we are to be Christians. Look, faith is not flawless, but it will lead us to keep going and following Christ. Look, he lists Samuel, who at such a young age was listening to the voice of God, even when those who were older than him and wiser than him weren't. Right? Now, and I know I just brought up the point that wisdom is important here, and that we shouldn't just have that faith and devotion without wisdom, but we can't have wisdom without faith and devotion either, right? And we see an example here, and as the one who works with our youth, let me make the point here again and again. These kids are younger than you, and that means you guys should be able to lead them, but that doesn't always mean that's the case. Don't think just because you're older that makes you qualified to lead them. It should be that way. And I would like to hope it's that way, but we didn't see Eli leading Samuel. We saw Samuel leading Eli. So if you are to lead them, as I'm teaching them to try and follow you guys, be the type of leaders that they should follow. So that's what we see with Samuel. But then we get into the even quicker hits here. He says, now we see the prophets, right? And there are countless examples in the Old Testament of people who maybe even for just a small glimpse of one verse popped up to proclaim the word of God. Or we don't even know what they proclaimed, but we know that they were there. But we know that they had great achievements through it. And look at this. Here's, after he listed all of that, here's our faith statement in verse 33. Through faith, and now he lists the mountaintop achievements that we see. They subdued kingdoms. Now just stop and think for a second. Israel, you know, before they were even a nation and they were a small people group, they started out as a man and his barren wife. And yet now we are seeing that the accomplishment of the nation that came for them, that they subdued kingdoms. This is God that was leading them. Their faith connected it to them. They subdued kingdoms. They brought righteousness in this. They obtained the fulfillment of what God had promised them. They stopped the mouths of lions. It's very clearly referring to Daniel here. They quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. That through all of these things, look, we're seeing victories, we're seeing reforms, fulfillments of all these things, people that are surviving. And then look at this, out of weakness were made strong. I mean, that's a key to understanding this point. And if you read that and don't hear Paul talking about his own struggles, You need to go back through and read Corinthians, because Paul makes this great point. He's when he was praying to God to have God remove a thorn from his flesh, that God said, basically he said no. He said, listen, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul says, I will boast, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Look, our weakness is our strength. And that doesn't make sense at first, but when you stop and realize, our weakness shows our reliance on God. Now realize, I said show. It doesn't create reliance on God. We all rely on God, right? And we can get in situations where we're in a hospital and we're on a ventilator and people are praying for us, and they should be, that our next breath is taken care of. But realize, even when you are healthy and your lungs are functioning just as fine as they could be, your next breath is still contingent on what God wants with it. So in all of this, we rely on God. So at any time we are weak, we realize that we are relying on God, we grow in our faith and we grow in our strength. So through this, we see all these victories, that they fought powerfully and that they stopped invaders. But then look at verse 35 here. It says that the women received their dead raised to life again. Now realize here, if we're saying they received, this is our transition point, because this is a victory, but this is a victory that came from defeat. They didn't just have easy victories. They had suffering too. So from verse 35 now, we go from the mountaintop of achievements to the valley of sufferings. Look at this. We see people who died. They see people who were tortured. Literally the word for tortured here is people that would be strung up and beat like a drum, is the word there. They were given a chance to take the easy way out, and yet they didn't. Why? Because they would attain a better resurrection. Look, I know that the people in the Old Testament didn't know Jesus by name, but they knew that God was leading them to their resurrection. So if they could understand that from far away in history, we can easily look back at Christ and have faith in him. Even though we don't see the miracles like what Christ had done, we can still look back and know that he is going to work with us here, and we need to have faith in him. But they endured all this mental and physical abuse. People were stoned. People were sawn in half. They were tempted. They were cut down. They are as poor as it got, and they wandered all about. They had their valley moments too. And realize, again, this is through faith. By faith, they went through these things. Look, we love to bring up these stories, and these stories are great when we bring up an amazing moment where we see God heal someone. Those are amazing things. But God speaks to us just as much in those times when someone is not healed as when someone is healed. So we need to look at those things and see how people live in those moments. I mean, that's kind of the point of Job, is how we are to suffer well, because we are going to suffer. So let's go through this. And realize this, in verse 38, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. These people that had faith, the world didn't deserve them. But let me tell you something, the world needed them. The world needed their testimony. That's the life of faith that they lived. And so I want you guys to think, are we living this kind of life that they are living here? Now, I know we don't see the miraculous things in that, but we can suffer in the way that they did. We can show strength in ways that they did too. Are we the kind of people that our world does not deserve to have around but desperately needs? Or are we the kind of people that is exactly what the world deserves and that is not what they need? Now realize, that's not a good thing, to be what the world deserves. Now look at the result here in verse 39. He says, all of these people, they immediately obtained a good report through faith. God, you know, in Genesis 15, it says, you know, Abraham believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. Immediately, on the spot, they have a good standing with God. But you look at the next part of it, they did not receive the promise. Look, they didn't get to see Christ. They didn't see the fulfillment of it. But now Christ has come, and people who die, they get to see Christ immediately. They used to have to wait for that moment, and now it's here. And so that's why I wanted us to jump into to the beginning of chapter 12 here, because he then ends with this transition. He says, wherefore, so now looking back at all of these witnesses that we've seen in chapter 11, this is what we should do. This is our call. See their example and press on. He says, set aside every weight, all the burdens that we have, set to the side. All that sin that we have, the sin that takes us off the path so easily, set that to the side. And now that you don't have anything weighing you down, run. Go, he tells us. Now let me tell you something. This is not a sprint. He's not telling you, listen, you need to have all cylinders firing until you eventually give out at the age of 35. He's telling us that we need to have endurance. We need to be consistent with it. It's right. We've seen our kids run cross country. We've seen them do it, and they don't take off sprinting. They're taking off at a good pace, but they're consistent all throughout it. That's what we are called to do too. And how do we do that? Verse 2, he gives us the way how. We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of, look at this, faith. Look, we talked about it in Hebrews 11. The key is faith. Jesus is the key to that. All right, and then look at the end of this with Jesus. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, this is the encouragement we get. Jesus died for us so that we could run this race. Not only that, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's making the point here, even though he doesn't say, and on the third day he rose, Jesus couldn't have died and then sat at the right hand of the throne of God if he wasn't alive. So Jesus died, he was raised again, and now he's ruling. I don't know what can be more encouraging to us to know that our God loved us enough to die for us and that he is ruling right now. Now, I know that this rule is something that the kingdom of God is here, but we haven't seen it come fully at the same time. I understand that. But we can know this, that even when things are going rough, even when sufferings come, that God is on the throne. And the encouraging thing about that is not only is he on the throne, but we know how much he loves us. So if we know how much he loves us, and if we know he's in control, we shouldn't have any fear. That person that needs to hear the gospel, I know it's hard to give it to them. But what do you have to fear? Even if, you know, we're in America, they're not going to kill you for it, but even if they were going to, God is in control. So with all of that, let's remember to have faith in God. And if we are struggling to have our faith, go to our Bibles and read it. And remember that when you see God act in these stories, these histories that we see, that is the same God that is here now. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful, Lord, for the witnesses and the testimonies that you've given us from the beginning of creation until now, Lord, that simply faith will give us success, Lord. And to know that it's not based on what we achieve, because even if we were to get cut in half, it would be such a great victory for you because we were obedient to you. So fix our perspectives and throw away all the burdens that we have that keep us from running our race and put our eyes on you so that the storm doesn't distract us and we don't start sinking, but that we go to you with joy. Thank you for your love and thank you for your sovereignty. And just carry us through this week thinking of those things. In Jesus' name, amen.